first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, afraid as I may be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times, that puts my mind at ease. I'll stake my very life, He's gonna take care of me. A God whose hands hold this universe, and how could I ever question His ability? There's no place that I can go that He doesn't know exactly what I need. Always aware of where I am and just what I need. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times, that puts my mind. And I'll stake my very life, He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. I'll stake my very life,
six. I got green light. See, if you look down, you see the two green lights? Below them, there were six red when I looked up there. Okay, Romans 6, Ephesians 6. Continuation of resurrection. Where we have the power of the resurrection, but yet last week was the power of the resurrection to overcome the world. So we'll try to do the flesh and the devil today. Romans 6, verse 4 says that we should, at the end of the verse, should walk in newness of life. Should. See, the thousands of people we saw at Beale Street, Memphis, they almost all of them were saved. No, I'm saved. Yeah, almost all will claim to be saved, and a lot of them know some Bible. But why aren't they living newness of life? They should be. Romans 6, 4 says we should walk in newness of life. And so Romans 6:11. So this one basically, I'll give you a couple more ideas about the resurrected life. This one will be over the flesh, and then the second part over the devil. I'm going to focus more on over the devil. Over the flesh is your constant struggle, your constant enemy, because everywhere you go, there you are. So people ask where I live, and I usually say, everywhere I go. You know, somehow that's been working. your worst enemy is your flesh. Okay? In the old days, the way they would punish or slowly kill a soldier in the Roman days, they'll get the soldier that they want to kill slowly, and they'll find a dead soldier on the battlefield, tie the dead soldier tightly to the back of the living soldier, tie his arms, his hands, and everything together so he's got a dead body in the back of him, and then they take him and throw him out in the battlefield, on the ground. You ever try to get up with a 150 dead weight on your back without your hands? The ones that didn't get up died right on the spot. As the body, the dead body begins to swell, everything tightened up. If he didn't get up, he's going to die right there. Slow, agonizing death. Dehydration, swelling of the body. Okay, that's what a believer has. You've got a new spirit, but you're carrying this flesh. Okay, and that's what we're dealing with. So how can we overcome this flesh? Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how's that work? I don't know. It's faith. When you have that urge, that temptation to do something, to get angry, whatever, right on the spot, I reckon, if you throw in the southern twang, that will help. Okay? I reckon I'm dead to that. Lord, I believe it by faith. You might be surprised what the Spirit does for you. Okay, reckon yourselves dead. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. Okay, the most vital idea over the flesh is faith in sanctification. Faith in sanctification. Acts 26 verse 18 backs that up. Belief in sanctification. You say, how that works? I don't know how it works. Okay, but if you're in a situation and you can sense that you're getting mad, okay, reckon yourself dead to that. Anger is an emotional response of not getting your way. We spank children for that. That's really what it is. Anger can be an avenue for unclean spirits. I'm not saying it is, but it can be. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 22. A while back, I was playing taxi as folks were putting the door hangers on. And David was riding with me in the car, and we're approaching. You can see this guy standing by a car, and he's to the person inside the car. And man, you could feel it when we went by. That was not only somebody who was angry, but there was a spirit. And you could feel that spirit. So I'm not saying that every time a person is angry that there's an unclean spirit involved. I'm saying they just didn't get their way. Why do you get mad in sports? You didn't get your way. That ref, he didn't kind of foul. Okay, your worst opponent in a basketball court or a baseball field or any sports, your worst opponent is yourself. Have a goal to conquer yourself. You're going to fail. You're going to get upset at times. But when you're done, when the Spirit of God has said, you botched it, aren't you glad you have eternal security? Because you would have lost it over there. You know, and so you botched it, determined to do it next time right. Okay, if you get in that habit, and if you can do that for 40 to 50 days, about that, that's how long it takes to develop a habit. And so then you've conquered it, at least at that time. I'm not saying it's going to be forever, but Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The snare is implying there are times where anger is a spiritual, it's a spirit, and it can ensnare a person. Now, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, now this one shows that, okay, anger may or may not have a spirit involved. It's simply a person didn't get their way about anything, any issue. And maybe you didn't get your way, and your way would have been the right way. It still, our righteousness, or the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, so you still can't get mad. Or there's a right type of anger. Ephesians 4:26, be angry. Okay, so there is a right kind of anger, and I know people that often talk, well, my anger was a righteous anger. Yeah, right. Okay, but be angry and sin not. And then he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But you'll notice that the verse, it doesn't have a period. Next verse, neither give place to the devil. The implications are, okay, if you get mad about something, 10 o'clock in the morning, hopefully you can resolve it in a very short time, but don't let it go past 6 o'clock at night. If you harbor that after 6 o'clock, that is an open, you've kicked the door open. So when you're sleeping at night, here comes unclean spirits. And then they will continue to stir that up. Okay, that's where a devil does get involved. And what are the results? How do you know what's going to be the byproduct of that? Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And then the next verse says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is yelling and screaming. This is what goes on in a house that grieves the Spirit. Okay, yelling and screaming. That is a byproduct of, verse 26, a person who has an extended anger and they sleep on it. That's not a biblical house setting. It's got to have security. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, that's where the anger, and I know when people are sick, when you're not physically well, it's easy to get angry quickly. Go to a hospital and see how the nurses have to put up with that. Go to an Alzheimer's unit and see what people have to listen to. It's difficult to overcome those things. Okay, but go to a street and listen to what people say to you as street preaching, and you, God, don't get angry. Okay, and so the idea here is it grieves the Spirit in verse 30. So what we're doing, what a person is doing, is when they're continually extended anger, they are opening a door to unclean spirits. So what do you got to do? You got to clean the house up. Clean the house up and then work on yourself. Get along with God. Say, God, I blew it. I was wrong. And then whoever you express your angry words or mean words to, go to that person and apologize. I mean, not a fundamentalist apology. I'm sorry you misunderstood me. Or, I'm sorry you did this to cause me to do that. No, an apology is, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Okay, that's what the Bible would want us to do. Okay, that's where we want to be tender to the Lord's leading, and that helps us keep our conscience pure. Okay, and so that's all I'm going to say about as far as on the flesh. But we overcome the flesh, and the flesh is the toughest thing. I mean, eating habits, you get into that, you get into anything and everything. You'll be surprised how powerful this flesh is. You know, I don't know. I'd heard someplace where, I don't know if it was some Muslims that was going on a hunger strike. So somebody that heard about that very wisely had a barbecue right next to them. I mean, that's the way to do it. Don't just get there mad. Just cook a big barbecue. They're on a hunger strike. Man, this is good. That's not even pork. So that's one thing you could do. Okay, now the next one is Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. Okay, this is vital to overcome the wiles of the devil. Okay, very important. Okay, now we know the main focus of, you know, a lot of times the common saying is the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did of your own free will. Okay. The devil's doesn't have time to mess with me. I know I've never had an encounter with the devil. He's too busy writing the next English Bible. Okay, that's his main focus. New Bibles, casting doubt on what God says, and politics. That's his main two focuses. Okay, and so he has his understudies, if you want to call them that, devils, unclean spirits, fallen angels. The unclean spirits or devils, flies, mosquitoes, they are continuing to grow because the devil's a breeder. Okay, and so this is a constant thing that keeps going on and on and on. Fallen angels have a limitation. Okay, but the devil, unclean spirits are continuing to manifest themselves. Okay, so religion and politics are his main sphere of influence. So there are many devils, unclean spirits, fallen angels that operate in the air. Satan is a prince of the power of the air. We can't see it. Okay, but these things are going through the air. What's going through you and I right now? All the television programs that are flowing from antenna to antenna. The wireless. All this is gone. It used to be CBs, Breaker 19. You can sometimes pick that up, you know. And all this stuff is floating. Now, if you get the right receiver, you can pick it up. But there's also temptations. All this is floating around, going through the air. That's his main area of activity. Now, these spirits will seek to fulfill the wishes of the devil, Satan. Okay, their ruthless nature, okay, down in, I forget what state it was, it might be Texas, where they had a memorial to Baphomet, freedom of speech on federal property, memorial of Baphomet. So they got a goat-headed being there with the horns and two little children, but the being is looking lovingly at the two little children. What's the being want to do to those children? They're not going to portray that. If they're going to be honest, they would portray him ripping their heart out of their chest. And that's what they should do to portray. Okay, that's the natural thing of what he wants to do. We don't see that. So what God has given to us in the New Testament is the armor of God is available for a protection. Okay, and it's available for against the assaults of Satan. Now, this armor that we're going to read is typified by a Roman soldier. This is what a soldier would have. It looks to be seven parts to it. Six are mentioned in Ephesians, but he doesn't mention the leg greaves because that would be prayer. And so what a person does is you want to consciously put this on. If you can get in the habit to do this every day, it would be a good idea. Lord, please put the breastplate of righteousness on me and my loins girt about with truth. And you want to do that? We try to do that definitely when we go out in the streets. You can consciously do that. So I want to go through some of the pieces of the armor. Verse 10 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on. That is an obligation. Okay, it's just like most of us don't use the capability of our cell phones because we don't. Got all these apps on there. You know, what I use in my cell phone is maybe, you know, the phone part when I remember to have it with me. And, you know, and then I have some messaging. Then I've got the compass. I'll use that once in a while. And then the calculator. But there's a bunch of other stuff on there. I don't know what it is. Okay, we have this capability. The same is true in the Christian life. Okay, and so in verse 2, put on. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You may say, I've never seen those, neither have I, but I know you're wrestling against them. To wrestle with something is your... If you really want to experience this wrestling, that's where you... On the streets is hand-to-hand combat. You're really experiencing it there. Now, the Bible hints at the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spirit. It hints at what their desires are. It doesn't come all the way through and tell everything. A person can learn some of those things. But you want to focus more on the armor. 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. So it's the second time he said it. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Okay, first piece, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay, a loin steak. Probably getting hungry now. Okay, a loin, a girdle. Now, older generation, we think of the girdle, you know, where, you know, trying to get the, you know, cover up, you know, all that stuff. Okay, a girdle is a belt. Loins gird about with truth. That's your carpenter's belt. That's what an electrician has on. He has all his tools beside him. It's handy right there. The Lord said to Job twice, gird up your loins, and I'm going to answer you like a man. So stand up straight. You're going to take it. I'm going to talk to you eye to eye. Okay, when Jeremiah, he said, gird up your loins. One time he told Jeremiah, take that gird, that girdle you have, and go over to Euphrates River, which is quite a thing. I hope he had, you know, the Old Testament Express, where he could just picked up by the Spirit of God and go on over there, because, man, that's a 500-mile walk. He'd take that girdle over there to Euphrates and then bury that in a rock by the river, close to the river, so it gets a bunch of water on it. He said in the midst of the Euphrates, I don't know, maybe it was down. And then he went back, and then a little while later, he said, now go get that girl. Man, you're asking a lot, walking over there. Okay, let the Holy Ghost grab you by your head. So he goes over there, and he gets the girdle, and it says it's good for nothing. That sounds like a common phrase. It's good for nothing. He said, that's what the Jews are to me. So I want you to show that in public. Look at my girdle. I tell you people, you're good for nothing. And that's what he told Jeremiah. And a person tends to think, wow, that's pretty bad. Jeremiah wasn't real positive. Well, we heard a testimony of a street preacher, 42 years, preached on the street, mostly down in the French Quarter down there. I've been down there once in daylight. Whew, that's bad. During Mardi Gras, he tells me in order to do a street preaching, they do two of them back to back, and the one's walking, the other's got his back to him. And he said, you can only take an hour of that pression. He's preached 42 years and never saw one soul saved, not on the street. You say, what's the purpose? To please God. That's the age. Now, he never saw it, but I'm sure some did. The Lord just didn't show it to him. Okay, but still, have your loins gird about. A gird is to encircle your loins with a belt. So in your belt, you want to have, it says, the whole counsel of God in your belt. Truth is not limited by the fundamentals. You want to study the whole counsel. It's a lifetime of seeking truth, and you have that at your disposal in your belt. In your belt, you got a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like a hammer that breaketh a rock into pieces? And you got some nails. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says that the words of the master are like goads and then nails in the master's. Do you get the point? That's what the nails are for. And then you want to have some things in your belt. You don't want to have, you know, things like here. We got an idea. Okay, this against this false idea, and this one's against this one, and this one's that one. And you got all these things ready and available to you when people come up and with their arguments. Okay, so your loins are girt about with truth, he said. Truth. And then it says, having on a breastplate of righteousness. Now that's mentioned originally in Exodus 28. He mentions it also in Isaiah 59:17 and 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, a breastplate of righteousness. Okay, now if we go back to the Old Testament, the high priest had a breastplate. Okay, and then he had 12 stones on the breastplate, and the stones were represented by each of the tribes. And if they had a difficult issue where they could not figure it out, they could actually ask God the question, and the Urim and Thummim wasn't a yes or no answer. It was the lights would kind of lighten up, and they could ask God through the high priest, what about such and such, and then beep, 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 and they'd give him an answer. You know, they could say, what stock's going up so I can buy it? You know, beep, 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 beep. I'll tithe on my profits. Okay, and so, but those stones, the high priest had, emits energy. Okay, has anybody ever taken a magnet, two magnets, north, south pole? And you see the energy, but yet they don't touch, right? Now, I can't preach this in too many churches, but Jan and I continually study to try to not only help us spiritually, but physically. And every time Morris comes, he gives us something that he's come across. And this time we was able to give him something he hadn't come across. Olive gold, he didn't know about that one. So praise the Lord, we helped him out. But he came across. Now, it is a scientific proof that stones, like a magnet, some use a magnet for healing where they can put a magnet. I use a magnet on my mower where I have a north-south magnet on the gas fuel line because it's supposed to break up the fuel better. Okay, a north-south magnet, just clamped it right on there. Have it on my, furnace also. Okay, and so then you can have other things like copper emits vibrations. Okay, and so these things, this breastplate of righteousness. So here's what a person can do. Is we know that stones emit energy. I mean, that's scientifically proven. So, don't you know the devil's doing the same thing? Now, Morris came across a stone that I'd never heard about. It's shungite. Okay, and this was he had a black shungite in his pocket, a stone, and it's for EMF protection, electromagnetic frequencies. Now, I wear a quartz for EMF. Sometimes I have a quartz in my pocket. I've taped quartz to my electrical lines coming into the house as the point goes with the electrical flow, and it makes the electricity be more efficient. Okay, now the shungite, he's telling us, the shungite was discovered because of Chernobyl. Chernobyl had the nuclear fallout, people dying from cancer, plants dying, people dying, but there was a section, zero symptoms. People were not dying, they were not sick, plants were growing, and they discovered that area below the ground was shungite, a rock, that dispelled all that. Okay, and not only, he told me also about another idea, and this, you know, some of this, sometimes people think, you're kind of getting new agey, and I understand that, okay, but this is a copper wire, and when Morris tells me something, so I get online, I start looking for it, okay, and then you put that in a sphere like that, and a neighbor farmer of Morris's had one of these, and he just threw it in a seed bin, and he left it set on his alfalfa seed for a couple months. He just forgot about it. He planted his alfalfa, and the alfalfa came through in 3 days. He thought, that's crazy. I'm crazy. We're all crazy. So he got his alfalfa done. You know, he had two bags left over, and his brother was going to plant some alfalfa. And his brother said, "Man, I ran out of some alfalfa. You got any more bags?" He said, "Well, yeah, I got a couple." He said, "I only need one." So he didn't say a word to the guy. And a week later, he said, "Hey, where'd you get your alfalfa? It was up in 3 days." He said, "Man, the other's 7, 8, 9 days, and yours is up in 3 days." He said, "It was this specific bag." They discovered that this produces an energy for the seeds. It's like an EMF protector. This can, in a way, purify your water, set it by your water, because something is emitting from that. And the same with shungite. Now, I haven't been able to find some shungite yet, you know, because you can get all these fake stuff. But you see, we got to know these things because, you know, the cell towers, they're like on G3, starting to put up G4. Wait till you hit G5, generation 5. That will be microwaving effect. You see, people over there in the Silicon Valley, they don't have your best interest at heart. Okay? And the G5 is a military technology of microwaving people, and this is a way to dispel crowds. Electrical thing going out there. Okay, and a person can get protection from the EMF by certain things. If you don't, cancer, headaches, sickness, and where's it coming from? Look at that cell tower. Okay, and the thing is, do you get headaches when you're on a cell phone too much? I encourage, don't put your ear on that phone. Because that's microwave radiation, and we're going to see an increase in brain cancer because of that cell phone. Hold it here and talk through it. And you put it in your pocket, you are radiating your body. Front pocket, back pocket, front pocket, men, prostate problems. Think about that. Okay? And the breastplate of righteousness shows us that stones emit energy. This is just a thing of life. And God has given us these things, so we need to study. And we need to protect ourselves. Okay? Aluminum screen on your window? Try that one. Put your cell phone down, put an aluminum screen over, and then try to call your phone, see if you can get it. That aluminum is like a shield. Okay, and so the breastplate of righteousness, the Lord is telling us, okay, he's telling us, the breastplate of righteousness, personal righteousness becomes an EMF against the devil. That's what it's doing for us. That's why a lot of people who fake their righteousness are going right back to it and are overcome by the devil because it's not within them. It's not a matter of the heart. So you have a breastplate of righteousness. Okay, then the next one is a feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When your feet are shod, that means you're willing to travel, to go someplace, to give somebody the gospel. Be it across the road, be it to your family member, you're willing to walk to a place, and the Bible says, beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I don't know, feet don't look real beautiful. But I say there's a benefit, physical, mental benefit, when we give the gospel to people. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The next one is a shield of faith. Of course, we know the shield would be like this, mostly a defensive weapon, but also can be used as an offensive weapon. But a shield of faith. Faith is something you believe in your heart. Faith. Okay, one of my signs, I had two Bible verses at the top, then I had one Bible verse, and then evolution is not science, it is a religion. And so this lady who thought she was intelligent looked at that, said, "That don't go together." I said, "Oh yeah, science and the Bible goes together." I said, "Evolution is not science." "Yes, it is." I said, "Well, what is science? You tell me." And she didn't know. So I defined it for her. I said, science is observing something that you've demonstrated by experimentation. Is that not science? Oh yeah, I can agree with that. Thank you. Did you observe the Big Bang? No. Have you demonstrated it? No. Then it's not science. It's not science. The Bible says faith has substance and evidence. And faith, when you investigate that substance and evidence, that's when your faith becomes personal. It's not, oh, this is what I was taught. No, this is what I studied and researched. That's my shield of faith. Now, I would say soak that shield of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and then pray a hedge of protection also. You know, throw in everything you can. Okay, the next one is the helmet of salvation. Now, it seems interesting why it says helmet. Because we know salvation is a matter of the heart. But when it's a matter of the heart and a person has the full assurance of their salvation in their head, they know they're saved. That's where, okay, I know I'm saved. Person says, go to hell. I said, sorry, can't do that. Not available. Because I'm saved. You can say all you want, doesn't matter. Okay, got the assurance of God? I know Christ is my Savior, I'm going to heaven. No matter what you say. So, you got to know you're saved. This is the biggest problem with people that are like this up and down, is they're questioning their salvation. And of course, Baptist preachers like it. Well, they don't say they like it when they question salvation, but it does help their baptism numbers because you got to get rebaptized if you do it again. And it's a good way to teenagers that rebelled, you know, and it's good for them to get saved again. This time they really got saved, so they don't get as big a trouble. You know, I know the game. Okay, and so, do you know you're saved? Yeah, I know it. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Were you sincere? Yeah, I was sincere, but it doesn't matter. If I question myself, that's okay. When you question Jesus Christ, that's not okay. Did I do that? It's a matter of belief, not did I do something. Okay, and so the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit is the sixth one. That's our offensive weapon. Okay, that's what we quote to people. And we go to the Bible and quote from the Bible to them. Okay, and then, well, I don't believe what the Bible says. It don't matter what you believe. The spirits inside don't like the Bible being quoted. And so the sword of the Spirit, that is our offensive weapon against the spirits. And the promise, the promise of the Word of God, it will not return void. That's the promise. Now, that means that God's going to use it how He sees fit. If this part is sincere, God will use it to help guide this person to more light. If this person is prideful and insincere, God will use it to take that sword and hit him right in the heart. And then you might see a reaction on that. Okay, the last one that's mentioned, or not mentioned, is the leg greaves. The leg greaves would be the shin guards. You definitely want to have that when playing hockey. Okay, why is that not mentioned in Ephesians? Probably because of verse 18. Prayer. Okay, that maybe this soldier's on his knees. George Washington did that. There were some Indians that sought out George Washington because they could not kill him. And this Indian chief said, we had our warriors trained to shoot you off that horse, and we shot two horses off of you, and there was actually some of the ammo went through his coat, but it did not kill him, did not hurt him. God evidently intervened there. Okay, and so he prayed often in the woods praying, during those battles. Okay, and then there was a colonel in World War I that would pray for his troops, and then he encouraged his troops. He couldn't make them do it, but he encouraged them to memorize Psalm 91, and they would recite that, Colonel Whittingly, and he did not lose a man in battle. It's a psalm of protection, World War I. I'm not saying that God's going to do that all the time. Okay, but still, the leg greaves is our time of prayer. So, pray, Lord, please give me the right words at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. Okay, so if you have a loved one that you feel led, God wants you to witness to, pray this, Lord, please give me the right words at the right time. Because everything is beautiful in His time. With the right spirit, my spirit needs to be right to the right person. Now, we do ask for the right response, but God's not going to force that person to accept it. But at least, and I pray often, Lord, please help me make your truth enticing. Enticing to that person. So that they are kind of lean to it, I guess, you can say. But the Lord is not going to cross their free will. He's just not going to do it. Because He wants people to freely believe in Him. So those are the seven individual pieces of armor that are available to us. And a person could subconsciously, okay, parents, pray for your kids in these things. Put it on your kids. Put it on yourself. And see what the Lord does with that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to recognize all the apps that we have available to us in our Christian life. And so many, the vast majority, we're not using all the apps that you've given us. We're not using the power that's available to us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to put on the whole armor of God. Help us to be overcomers of the world, the flesh, and in this case, the devil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okie dokie.